Hey guys, welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast. We got Brian here, and we're gonna dive into the muddled market and try to make some sense of it. Where are we at with Bitcoin? It's like bouncing between the 60s.
Yeah, so it was pumping earlier this week and it touched like 69,000, and then all of a
Massive
sudden,
sellers. There was
yeah.
like a 8% scam wick or something, like chain liquidations of like 80 mil or not mil or I don't know. It was a big liquidation
Yeah, it
event.
like touched 69,000 exactly, and then it just dipped. So some kind of it just dipped back down to 64,000, and then it's kind of gone sideways from there. So it with that such an exact like dip, like something happened where some order hit or some short got liquidated or something.
I saw that during that moment too, something happened with FTX and like a ton of people got liquidated and their platform wasn't working.
Oh shit.
Like, oh, Sam, you had to do it to me, huh? Like,
Yeah,
but some
Ethereum was pumping too, and
you
then
think they actually move markets? Like, they must, like, it's just like, it's them. Like, oh, he did it to us.
he's the whale doing the, I don't know, he's like he seems like too nice of a guy, honestly.
He's just cutthroat though, where he's like, like it's a bad market if it's over leveraged. I just had to short it.
I just had to clean it out. I had
I
to
just had
like
to single-handedly move the market
put the team on
5%.
my back. Yeah, so
<5%.
Ethereum was at like 4,800, and then it dipped back to 46. So it's been pretty sideways since then. And that's kind of how it's been for all the rest of crypto right now. It's been kind of a sideways week. Nothing too noticeable or yeah, noticeable has happened.
Higher lows, basically, like
Yeah, it's
higher.
basically higher lows. Like
You
we're
do
in.
realize that, like, we had talked about it before, where the average person holds a coin for an average of like 8 days.
Yeah, it's
And then,
crazy.
like, it's just like, all right, it's just time to sit on my hands. But, like, some people are like, I saw someone, and I'm not gonna name who it was because it's someone I personally know who was like, yeah, Bitcoin dropped. Like, is this a bear market now? And it's like, cringe, bro. Like, no, it's above 60K. This is not a bear market.
Yeah, it like feels like because there's
Feels like
no
there people
moment.
aren't as excited. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like, and not, it's not like we're having these, 20% daily pumps, or like, I think, people were talking on, Bloomberg or something where it's like, Bitcoin can move 10K a day, and we just haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen sometime. And I think it's just going to be weird. And it was another interesting thread that I saw from a big account talking about how they were going to move towards trying to discuss macro trends. And like the holiday season is coming up, people are going to spend money traveling, Christmas gifts and stuff. Like the overall impact, like it just kind of feels like it's like crypto's getting a bit more boring and mainstream, where like, yeah, it's not going to be super crazy anymore.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't know what it is, what it's going to be like with this holiday season, because you're right, where it's like people are starting to travel more with COVID, restrictions, being lifted, and then you have the holiday season. Like airplane tickets aren't like that cheap anymore, really. I was just like slowly, I was like checking the tickets to Miami for the Art Basel that weekend. And it's like $500 to go to Miami.
No way, from Minnesota?
Yeah.
Gross.
Cheapest is $416, and that's like Thursday, leaving Thursday and then coming back Monday.
Not like a Friday.
Not like a Friday. I mean, it's
And
probably
it's
the
going to be a
same
big event.
price.
So.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I couldn't go. But yeah, I was just looking at it. But NFTs, especially with
Yeah,
NFTs
it's going
getting
to be
mainstream.
Yeah, no, and we had talked about how the NFT market is kind of going back up to a certain interested in getting in, you know.
Yeah, you see a lot of celebrities now are buying Bored Ape yacht clubs. Lil Baby bought one.
Jimmy Fallon.
Kylie
Post
Jenner
Malone.
was, yeah, Post Malone got
She
one,
got
and then
rejected.
yeah, because
Blocked her for the culture.
she wanted this pink one with like a heart sunglasses, and apparently the pink ones, it's a female one, and there's only like so many females. And so she DM'd this guy, he screenshotted it, and then he like blocked her for the culture. And it was just like, harmless, ask. But it's funny, I saw, did you see that that tweet going around where this guy was in a Bored Ape mask, and then he had a t-shirt, and he was like, I wore this outfit to Soho House, London, and no one noticed me, or no one commented on my outfit. We are so early.
Yeah, I
And
saw
then people are
people
legit.
copy pasting that and some good ones. There was a chick being like, I walked into Soho House naked, like no one noticed. Like we're so gay.
Yeah, no, men are so gay out here.
Yeah. I was wearing the other one was like, yeah, I was like, noticed me or like, you know, insert stupid NFT
Yeah.
like.
And then like some famous luxurious place all over the world, like Soho House, London, or like
I know people in that it's like really expensive, but it's for like business people that are supposed to be fancy. And
there's like a
I don't know.
membership for Soho House,
Yeah, that
apparently.
was,
Like,
it was like for a friend of a friend who worked with like high net worth clients. And that's like where they do business when they're traveling.
yeah,
I don't know.
seems about right.
Although I wouldn't mind going. Actually, I
Yeah,
take
yeah, yeah.
that
Well,
back.
I mean, it's like bottle service and like, cute waiters, that kind of stuff. And
$18 cocktails and stuff, and
I'm sure it's more.
you have to spend a minimum, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. But one day we'll get there when the crypto hits,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
I feel like maybe some of like the lull too. I can talk a little bit about what happened in Lisbon.
Yeah, so
Like
last week we
I was
set it
on like
up.
the circuit a little bit. Yeah. And then you meet these people who are like, yeah, I was in Dubai and I've been in Lisbon and I'm just like really exhausted. Like you just want to go home and like I feel like the narrative, like there's these events that like get some hype. One of the things that Brian had asked me though was like, what really was the takeaway from Solana? And I think that like if you were there and I was busy working some of it and I wasn't like there. But I mean, I met people and talked with people, and I did some like networking and partying and stuff. There was like, I think it's like getting to the point where backroom deals, big VCs, big money, it's not on Twitter. These are
Yeah.
serious tech and business people. I met some very nerdy, very smart, rich people. And shout out to the dude from MakerDAO who was super drunk and offered me a job. That he never followed up about, but we need smart people like you. Like, do you want to be a validator? And no, you just meet these people who are in a very tight circle. And I think that I regret not going to the full Solana conference, although I would have been distracted. But it seems like it's like Solana. The takeaway I had was big, quiet money. It's
Yeah.
not cartoon people and Twitter bragging.
Exactly. That's what I was expecting from Twitter to have more like news about it, 'cause like, people were talking about, dinners and that kind of stuff, and but you knew that important people were there. And then, the fact that they weren't like advertising it on Twitter like says something, where
And it wasn't when you go to these different events, it definitely wasn't the Bitcoin conference crowd where you
oh
have
yeah
like psycho Maxis chanting and like weird people with not that much money and people who don't understand tech. The Dubai was kind of more of a fun thing, and then also there were the events, but that was more varied. But like, I got the vibe that it was a very small intimate community, and it was interesting. Where, yeah, the Solana, I met a dude who works on Orca, which is, I believe, the second largest centralized exchange on Solana.
I'm gonna look
And
that
then the
up.
MakerDAO dude was talking about how Ethereum is king, and yeah. I mean, I think the Solana narrative as well is like, you better be part of the crew, because it's like, okay, we're on this infrastructure, like Sam Bankman's taking us to the promised land. And I mean, the guy was nice enough, because I was like, what do you think about Phantom? What do you think about AVAX? And he's like, yeah, I mean, they have this and that, but like, dude, like we have like unlimited funds behind us. No, and then there were some NFT people. It was funny. I just saw a tweet where KSI was like, so I sold the bottom of the Solana monkeys. And I was like, is there someone out there just literally just counter trading him? Like, I think that could be like good money. Like, whatever KSI tweets, just do the opposite.
I mean, he does have like a huge following too, or like he's a big like YouTube person.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he's doing psyops and just dumping on his
Or maybe he has
homeland.
someone in a circle counter trading him on the stream, you know, to play
I
all
had
this
seen
stuff
though, like,
to hedge.
yeah, I had seen though where one of the videos of him getting liquidated, and I'm like, this isn't an act. Like, he just lost like millions of dollars.
No, it's like the crypto Bitlord videos where it's like I can't tell if this guy's just like making shit up or like he's actually like this serious.
And for him, it's both. I'm sure it's both. Like, it's a mix,
Because did you see
which he.
that he was trying to get into Good
No.
Morning or GM, that newest meme
Yeah.
coin, and he's like, I'm there's too many. Like the gas is so high, I'm paying 200 and 300. Like, I don't care. I will have my slippage at 200%. Just get me into this coin. It's like, let me bribe the miners or something. But it's like, I need to get into this coin. Like, I don't care what the
Yeah.
cost. The gas is so high, but I don't give a fuck. Because I like this coin is 3Xing like right before my eyes. And
I
so
saw that one in the probably nothing coin, and I was like, these are gonna rip.
it's
But
crazy. I mean, I thought meme season was over, but I mean, this is why we're going back to the market.
it's just gonna get bigger. I think it's gonna get bigger.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't tell. It's like whack-a-mole. It's like rolling the dice. Like, that was the other thing the person on Twitter had said, where it's like, you actually do have to pick them, because it is less and less correlated right now. Like, Bitcoin can crab and something can pop. Like, AVAX is going to keep going up. And like, you don't know what's next, because it's not everything is mooning at once right now.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, people pull up that chart where it's like that, shows the bull
The
cycle
cycle.
where it's like,
Yeah.
we're here. This is greed, euphoric, and then it's like, but I don't think I've seen that, people say that we're at the greed stage, but like that's like closer to the end of the top. It's like you're halfway there to, you're climbing towards the top. And we just barely reached all-time highs, like past all-time highs. Like we're not at like 8,000 or like 12,000, like people say. So I don't know. This makes me think that it's going to be slower.
If you chart it though, I think that a lot of people are saying things that will overperform in the short term. And so, I mean, I don't think Bitcoin is going to pop necessarily, especially with the macro stuff with the holidays and everything. A lot of times, too, people either have to sell to pay taxes or do wash sales for their shitty coins to offset taxes. So that also, I think, is a factor with like the yearly end and stuff.
Like, are a lot of people doing wash? Because, like, I feel like that's a waste of gas. I mean, I guess gas counts as your loss, but like you're not getting the, zero sum with a wash, which is where you're selling and immediately buying back, and it's like basically a net
You do
loss
get
of
it.
zero. But I mean, but with the gas price high, like it increases your loss
Yeah,
because you have to
but
pay more.
it's for rich people anyways. It's for rich people who have high income tax.
Yeah,
So.
so yeah, for me, like ETH is unusable right now. I'm like, whatever I'm doing, I'm trading on KuCoin or like Avalanche, or looking into Avalanche
Yeah,
plays.
Avalanche is good. Like Avalanche is great.
Or
Yeah,
yeah,
and like
even Arbitrum.
Phantom has been kind of wiggling, but like I think if you look at it by market cap, it's like if AVAX or Phantom start creeping up on Solana or like the big ones, like I don't know, you never know. I just saw someone talking about though, like ZK rollups are gonna solve Ethereum. And then that was one of the discussions. It was like 3 a.m. and I was having like a kebab. And then yeah, a guy from Solana. That was the cool thing about being in Lisbon and like, yeah, I met some strange random Portuguese kids who were like 23, who were like throwing around thousands of dollars. It was pretty wild. They got me into the soul chick party, which was sweet. And I was like, let me pay you back. I'll get the drinks. He's like, bro, drinks are free, bro. And like just random people having cool crypto conversations. I also additionally went to have you heard of Akash Network?
I don't. Is that like KDA? Is that the symbol?
It might be. It might be. But I went to a meetup with them, and then they had this interesting thing that had kind of given me inspiration. If I make it, you know. They had a shared workspace specifically for crypto. It was like 50 euros a month to like have a chair.
So like a WeWork
And then,
type of situation?
yeah, but just crypto. There was like full bar, you know what I mean? Like food and brownies laid out. And the day before they had Cosmo. Apparently, that was one of the other weird things. It's good to talk it out because I didn't really talk about Lisbon with anybody that understood what I would be saying. So I'm reflecting now on what I actually did. And that was a really good meetup. It was called The Block, and it's one floor in a Lisbon apartment. And then they had like six or seven different companies that worked out of there. And then, yeah, a lot of Cosmos, which the token is Atom, a
Yeah,
lot of Cosmos Max.
it's a top 25 coin. So it's like blown up. Like it's, they have, it's basically like Polkadot, similar parachain.
Yeah, it's like a parachain thing. Yeah. So I saw a lot of those maxis, which was strange because, and then this is like where I've told you before, and you know, it's a repeating theme, but the difference between the people that work for these companies and then the people who are like investors like we are, where we're on Twitter a lot and reading things, and they just start working on it. And I asked this developer dude who was like behind, and he didn't have any clue about what I was talking about. Like all the coins I mentioned, NFTs, nothing. And he was like, I'm in Cosmos, and then I have a vested stake in Akash Network that I can't touch. And then I trade like one or two other things that were like super obscure. And I was like, but you're a smart dude. Like, how do you not know more about the rest of crypto? And he's like, man, I work really long hours. Like, I do
Yeah, that's what I
conferences.
think. I think that's like they're just so in the weeds, like, just coding or like building stuff, where it's like they're so focused on doing what they need to do that they don't really focus on like, the market or like investing, Especially like coders too. They're like, once you're
And the
being,
business side people are all like the business side people, I get like crappy follow-ups because I handed them my business card. And then I'm like, yeah, I talked to the people that own your company and I forgot what we talked about. And like, you don't even know about crypto. And then they're just like asking for like typical standard business development follow-ups where I'm like, this is kind of a sad attempt. You actually realize that, and it's kind of, I've been noticing that the gap for Sparta outsourcing is a good gap to fill where it's a small amount of people. And then I met another group, or also, I mean, I'd heard the story from multiple different things. Also, GoBazinga, since they're trying to find developers on IDC, dude, the developers can name their price. Like, you need to like really get them to like you. Like, it's like dating, and there's not that many, attractive counterparties. And all these people that are developers are like, a lot of them are kind of already rich, or they're just like, they're the developers that are like, no, man, like, my
They don't
mom
need
doesn't charge me
money.
rent. Yeah, like,
Money's not
I just,
important to them.
no, I just need a computer. I own my computer. What else do I need? And yeah, I met some awkward dudes. It was an interesting meetup, and I asked a lot of questions of the guy, and then they were like, because I mean, I'm just like an outspoken dude, and I always like to kind of interject myself into the. And I was like, how does this compare to IDC? Or like, what are your costs against? So Akash Network is decentralized storage space that look to compete with like AWS or Google Cloud, you
It's like
know?
Filecoin kind of.
And I had some questions. Yeah, it's like Filecoin and stuff. And they're like, they had some updates that I didn't understand. And then I just asked some businessy questions. So afterwards, I had all these random Europeans like come up to me and just ask me questions about what I'm doing and all this and that, until I met the dudes that took me over to the other party with the free booze. But it was interesting where it was like, I felt like, how in Miami when we were at the Bitcoin thing, you could just like everyone around you was like crypto.
Yeah, talking about Bitcoin, or what do you think about
Like
Bitcoin?
everyone was there. Yeah, everyone was there for that. And like when I went to Dubai, I went to events where everyone was talking, but it's still Dubai. Like Miami was like the most people just coming for this one thing. In Lisbon, since I didn't buy the ticket to the main conference, and since I was going to like random meetups that I had to find, and then I would stumble upon people randomly as I was walking through the city. But like it had the vibe all the time, and it was like a really small group of people on a rooftop. You know what I mean? And I was like kind of underwhelmed, but it also kind of made me feel like, oh, we're early. Like it's just like a socially awkward group of
It's like a
mid
rooftop
20s
hangout.
and 30s men. Yeah, it's like could have been like some downtown Minneapolis folk singer. But instead you're talking about like coins with tens of millions in market cap. It was really strange. It was just kind of like odd vibes where you hear about the people in crypto, and then yeah, the just met them randomly, the Portuguese dudes at the meetup. They took me to another party, and then the next night met some people randomly at the kebab shop. I'm like, you kind of, but it was like more of a whisper. It wasn't like a Bitcoin Miami was like, okay, everyone's here. Like a
There's
lot of people are here.
events that, there's signs. You go to this bar, there's a bunch of Bitcoin people. You go around the block. That whole like Wynwood like avenue was like people talking about crypto. And
Handing out
then
flyers and stuff, and like this wasn't that type of an event.
seems like a
I mean, I guess
speakeasy type of thing where it's like you talking code or something, and then
it was, and then everybody was talking about how, and it was, to be honest, it was a little cringe. It was kind of douchey, but it kind of was like, yeah, I get it. Where for one, those guys were like name dropping like key members of the Chainlink team. Like, yeah, I know them. And like a lot of the people that I met were from New York. So they're like, when are you going back? Oh, I'm going back this week. When are you going back? Oh, in another week or something. And then it was just this insulated network where they were talking about like, yeah, well, I'm comfortable. Like we're all comfortable. It was just like everybody. Like I don't know if they've made it or if they're in it for the tech, but they don't worry about losing their job. They don't lose sleep at night trying to make it. Like all these guys were like, we have full-time jobs and we're very intelligent in this. And I need to get back to New York to finish my work. Like, and then that was the thing. The dude was talking about shipping. And I actually had only seen the memes and I'd never actually heard someone say like, yeah, man, when are they going to ship? I worked for Ethereum and now I work for Solana and we got to ship this next week. And, you know, I'm biz dev, but I used to be in tech. And it's like, oh, these are the people that business development tech back and forth. I manage more of the, I'm the business side than the techie, but I can understand enough. But this guy was a techie doing business development.
What do you mean shipping by ship?
When it's like a new update. Shipping, like developing software and like doing like a launch or something.
Or okay, or like testing, like
they do the meme, the ship or I'm shipping. It's Daniele Sesta always talks about like he's like the shipping king because he ships new technology and
stuff. Dude builds fast.
He's not a techie. He just has teams behind him and he's good at marketing and understanding. I'm sure he just has back office money deals with his buddies that he's already made millions for. Because there was that criticism of him as well, right?
It was more of like a Twitter beef, I would say, because like he made some thing because when Time created out, he made an announcement where it's like, oh, I'm going to buy back Ohm or something. Buy back, or like I'm going to back my thing in Ohm, like 300 million, some insane amount. And then, you know, the Ohm people started, you know, oh, when you're going to buy back, you know, trying to like, you made a pledge, like, and then he.
I was talking about, I had heard a different one though, where he had gotten all of his buddy in at like the pre-sale or whatever. So it was I was talking about something different where he was like, oh yeah, dude, cool. You're like five friends got in on day one of like Ohm staking when no one knew about it.
He's oh, like, that was like the like launch. That was part of it. It was like the launch of Ohm or something, where it's like it's a stealth launch, but it wasn't actually a stealth launch, and like they had like sleuths like recording
tracking
the Telegram conversations or something. But yeah, that was like a whole whole thing. But there's so many of these Ohm forks.
Oh, go ahead.
Like being backed by MIM now.
Yeah.
Now that it's like blowing up, like that's like the play to get back to have MIM or Magic Internet Money, which is part of that Daniel Esta, you know, spell ecosystem in your reserve for your.
It's at 3 billion now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I was just seeing recently, like, how much ETH, like, Ohm is backed by. I think they have, like, 300 or 400. You want to just take over for a sec when I, like, go grab a drink and explain how, and maybe look at some of the numbers of, like, I know that Time, I think it's 20% is backed by AVAX.
It's less
of the reserve.
It's
of the
more. Reserve. It's more just AVAX and MIM because of the bonds. So it's mostly backed by AVAX and MIM.
So how would you explain what MIM is?
It's just a stable coin backed by these interest building stable coins like Yearn. It's like connected to Yearn in some way. So it's, it's basically a stable coin, but it's like back to all these interest bearing. It's like called like YB or IBTCs.
Yeah.
I think that's what the acronym is. But, you know, Ohm is backed by a variety of different things. It has, like, ETH, it has DAI, has some sushi, and then it has, they're adding this LUSD, which I don't even know what that is. Let me look that up. LUSD is, Liquidity USD. Interest free. So liquidity, I think, is what the coin is. So Ohm is backed by more assets per se, and they have more bond pairs. Time is just, you know, time, AVAX, and then MIM basically. And
so is it directly correlated, or does it get like calculated out as rewards? Like if AVAX goes up, does the price of time increase?
I am not sure about that.
Or just like the value of the reserves, or maybe they increase the rewards or something.
I don't think it's much about the reserves in it. It's more about the bond staking mechanism. Like that, you know, when people sell, are like they buy more bonds, you know, they set it, you know, creates more coins or something, where
yeah, it's so crazy that they've honestly like invented the most insane financial instruments like ever created. People say, you know, Ohm is what Bitcoin was supposed to be. It's actually a reserve because it has reserves. It's not just a coin.
Yeah. So the whole thing is that it's like backed, like it can't go below this certain point, which is like super low. Like the lowest, if it's, you know, under 33 or 1,332 for time, then it will start like printing more. So that's like the minimum. But as far as the, like the interest like works, I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
And like if you look through their docs, you know, it's basically like what its mission is, and you know, what it's backed. And I think the whole point of it too is the fact it's like the three of three, the game theory thing, where it's like if we all stake and none of us sell, we all reap the benefits. And I think that's the like majority of like what of what's holding it together. Like if you look at Ohm, like 90% is staked, that's like pretty high. And like people want the rewards. Like it's not, it's a disadvantage if you sold. Like your buddy Renee was he wanted to put more in. He was like, oh, I'm gonna run by the strategy, I'm gonna put in, you know, so and so money, and then, you know, after 30 days I can double and then just pull it out, or like at least and just play with profits. But like for me, I want more in so it compounds faster. It's like if I sell out, then, you know, I don't have as much amount to compound because I have a less amount staked.
And it's like eventually, like way down the line, there'll be less rewards, but it's just going to be worth all the things that they purchased with all the stuff that we gave them money with.
Yeah, like this isn't going to last forever. For sure. Like there is definitely a limited time base or time, you know, there's a limit to how much they can do this. But so that's why I just want to put more
instead of just selling out. At the end of the day, they still actually have stuff. And then what if that stuff moves?
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. If all these sushi, yeah. Frax, DAI, I mean, DAI is a stablecoin, but like Sushi, ETH, Frax, what if they all moon? Yeah. Then the treasury increase, the total value of the treasury increases. So the price will go up. So, yeah.
What do you think that the future is going to be? You think they're, My worry is that they're going to start making up like really wacky home forks that just like don't make sense. And,
There already are. Like
yeah,
if
there's like
you
some
actually like read the
Lima.
docs,
Yeah.
like they all are the same thing and they're backed by less things. Like I was looking at one today too. It's called Snowbank, which is
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. And there's
Snowbank
Blizzard.
DAO. And so this one's just is just backed by MIM. Like I don't know, I don't get how it's there's nothing that differentiates it from time, basically. And there's not even AVAX in the reserve thing, but you're getting like, 560,000 APY. So I don't get some of these ohm forks. Like, Clima, that was a big one. And that one has like a carbon, environmental aspect to it, which it makes it interesting. It's on Polygon. And then Mark Cuban just tweeted a Cointelegraph article about it, about, carbon offsets.
Yeah, because like the whole NFT thing and the amount of energy and whatnot. I saw some funny stuff. Maybe we can go from the ohm stuff that's really serious to the NFT stuff. Where did you see the beef between Vincent Van Dohe and the furries?
No, I didn't.
And then also, did you see I think the New York Post, they were talking about how Hunter Biden is doing art projects or an art exhibition.
I saw
And
that
then,
cover where he's like,
yeah, and then they said
he.
Vincent Van Dohe. They called him Vincent Van Dohe. And then everyone, Vincent Van Dohe, for those who don't know, is a very famous NFT Twitter account or personality or whatever. The guy has an insane, he just picked up another Fidenza for 1.1 million. He's a monster. Like the guy, and if you want to go to Vincent Van Dohe and look up his virtual galleries, if you really know what you're looking at, it's like it's you're looking at a lot of money when you walk through his digital galleries. And there's like Pepe Casos and stuff, like rare Pepes and
Yeah, I'm seeing.
Fidenzas, crypto punks and random stuff. And he got into beef with furries because furries, they commission artists to create their profile pictures. And then he went around and he did the right click save meme. And then he took all of these people's furry Twitter profile picture and then made a collage of them. And in front of them is like him as a frog, because that's like his identity, is he's just a Pepe frog. And so then he put the Pepe frog in front of all of their pictures and then made an NFT out of it and just auctioned it off for 28th. So all of the furries are super upset at him. And they're saying that it's actual intellectual property and that they're going to DMCA him.
They
And
actually gonna sue him?
they're like, so that's what the joke is, where they're like, "Yes, Your Honor, I would like to sue this internet frog." He stole my furry alter ego persona that I have paid good money to generate.
Right clicked and saved my photo and
Yeah.
ruined its value.
And then, yeah, Crypto Cobain, Kobe was just like, man, it's gonna be, or he was like legit worried. And I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. 'Cause he was like, I wonder if the difference between me and my alt account is enough space from Vincent Van Dohe to not have to go to court. And then he wrote another tweet being like, "No, Your Honor, I don't know anyone by the name of Vincent." But I mean, it's kind of relevant because it's like, it'll be interesting to see if NFTs and then like copyright stuff. Did you also see what happened with OpenSea, where they suspended someone from selling a bored ape that
I
actually
didn't.
was theirs? Like they did, like they like changed the rules, and it was like kind of messed up, where people were like, what the fuck, OpenSea? Like, you can't do that.
There was, I saw like people like having like NFTs disappear from their OpenSea account. I don't know if that had something to do with it. But that's mostly what I saw from OpenSea.
Oh my gosh, dude. So I'm looking at the Vincent Van Gogh story. Mm-hmm. And then he retweeted somebody who's all upset. Really hope lawyers are going to sue that idiot. And then he just retweets it. And he's just been shitposting to all these
people. Oh, yeah, he's been posting these memes like with GIFs. Like, oh, yeah, some fuckwad sold my profile pic as an NFT as part of a collage for nearly 100K. The fuck? And his response is like, oh, yeah.
100 unique furry profile pictures in one. And then it's the Pepe with like the smoking cigar, just smiling.
Oh, I saw that. And it's like lawsuit material. Call 1-800 sue me.
Sue me. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know if there was other stuff to that you wanted to get into, but I was like, might prematurely drop a shill where I kind of want to move some things around. And I think any Mooncats under 0.69 ETH, that's going to be a good buy. They're at like the floors at like 0.61, 0.62. I saw some rare pudgies have been getting sniped. The Mutant Ape Yacht Club floor has been rising.
Yeah, that was the little baby he bought at MAYC.
Yeah, and then apparently the rare mutant ape. Like, I feel like the future people are gonna, I don't know, people aren't sweeping floors right now, I don't think, but people are like buying rare ones that they like. Like, it's kind of a natural cycle where it goes back to like, okay, rich celebrities are gonna get one yacht club item that's gonna be not a floor one, you know? And I feel like for the floor, I don't know, I appreciate floor stuff, but I think that like people are gonna get pickier with the NFT stuff. And it's gonna be a weird equilibrium. Once I saw that Ashton Kutcher Mila Kunis one, they just got Gary V to be on the, what is it, the Stoned Cats or something?
They have like a cat TV show. We talk and like Vitalik is like a voice on one of the cats.
Seems cringe.
Yeah, it does seem cringe.
But they're also saying that they're like, they're going to create like a Bored Ape Yacht Club music group.
What?
Yeah. So there's like four people Stoner with Bored Cats. Apes. Yeah. Stoner Cats. Like, I don't know, man. It's going to get cringe when there's all this corporate NFT bullshit.
Well, that's the whole thing with the metaverse where it's like you have all these, it's going to just going to be a thing, a place to place all your ads.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Nike trademarks is like trademarking all their shoes so they can put their shoes in the metaverse, and like people are just gonna trademark you know, that they can trademark for, you know, metaverse type things.
It's gonna be cringe, isn't it, when people are like, I own the trademark to that metaverse. And like, that's kind of, it goes back to the Vincent Van Gogh thing where it's like, wow, dude, people are really upset. Purpose. Yeah.
Like that's why I like the Facebook thing is so cringe, because it's like Mark Zuckerberg doesn't own the metaverse. Like, it's decentralized. That's the whole point. Like, it's for everyone, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw somebody posting about him where they were like, why do we have social media companies that dictate a lot of people's social lives run by one of the most awkward human beings in the world?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, on unrelated stuff, I saw that like Rittenhouse is banned on Instagram or something, or like they're censoring all sorts of stuff. And I've harped on it enough times for enough years where if you don't know by now, like, come on, like, really? These companies are steering you into looking at certain things, and I should hope that that's obvious enough for most people to see. And yeah, man, if they're going for the metaverse, it's gonna be, and then the future artists are just gonna get sponsored or something.
Yeah.
Gross.
They're just gonna sell out or something, you know.
Yeah.
Same as real art, but like, you know, it's just a cycle. So Mooncat is
Cringe.
0.62. That's the floor. So it's below your target.
That's what I was saying. Once it gets to
Yeah.
0.69, like that's like the yeah, the law of round numbers or whatever. Like I think, I mean, I'll just start moving. I mean, are you down to just move into the shills?
Yeah, for sure.
AVAX under 100, Bitcoin under 69. Like at some point it's gonna pop. These
Yeah.
numbers have meaning, you know? And
I think
so I
ETH
bought
right
Monero.
now is
Yeah.
it's
You
coming.
think ETH is gonna keep going?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it doesn't make any sense. People are still wanting to trade on ETH. Like, just looking at my shitcoin that I bought back in March, like the only pair is on Uniswap, and they're still getting like 3 million in volume. And so I think people are still trading on ETH, but I don't know how. It's not, yeah. But AVAX for sure is my. I definitely agree with you on AVAX. I think AVAX has room to grow. And like, it's so easy to bridge now too, because now that I mean, before it was on Coinbase, you had to like monkey around with the X chain and then bridge it over to the C chain. And then, you know, people didn't realize there was two different chains. And then the Coinbase was already configured, so you just had to add the network. It makes it so much easier to transfer AVAX and use it. But yeah, I'm also bullish on AVAX.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's kind of if you're really buying right now. I mean, I think ETH isn't stupid, but I want to hit something bigger. You know what I mean?
No,
Like you're
yeah.
really, Bitcoin and ETH, I think, are just kind of like, yeah, just if you want something easy,
Yeah,
you can
my.
sleep easy at night, you know?
But it's also like if you want to be a millionaire off of like five figures, you're not going to buy Bitcoin or ETH. You're going to buy
Yeah.
these shit coins that can multiply, or these low cap coins.
Yeah, you got some low caps then to show.
Yeah, so this is. I've been watching this for a couple. I didn't. I don't. I'm not. I don't usually buy stuff on launch anymore, or like when things launch. But I was looking at Z20, which is like a own fork on Arbitrum, and I was. It's like a low market cap, 38 million. It's, you know, reasonable price. It's like $300 a coin. Right now, the APY is like it's boosted right now.
Insane.
It's like 3.8 million APY. And so what makes this different than, like Snowbank, which is just, you know, a ripoff. It's just a copycat of time for sure on AVAX. It's like, one, this is on Arbitrum. It is also like part of an ecosystem. It's called Arby Finance, which is like Arby's, like the fast food chain.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's backed by more. It has some MIM, it has some ETH, it has some BTC, it has some OHM. So it's backed by, you know, certain things. The treasury balance is, you know, only, you know, 6 million, and the TVL is only 19 million. So it's pretty risky. The runway is only 152, so it's pretty risky. It's also on Arbitrum, so that's like the only own fork right now on Arbitrum. And it's kind of, I was looking in how to buy. Shout out to Greenpill. He makes all these guides for all these own forks. If you're interested in buying and you want to like invest, he gives you pretty inf informational guides. But, you know, to buy on Arbitrum is not an easy process. It's way more complicated than time, for sure. So that's definitely a play. I would look into it. But it's just so weird. I think this market is just really weird right now. Like, just observing and watching. Like, paint. You still have your paint?
I'm sure I do. I, like, don't have it. I keep getting those. You have to refresh your MetaMask. And I think there's, like, 4 coins that I don't have in my current MetaMask that I just...
It just pumped, like, 64% today. Like,
really? Know. That's so strange.
Like, what?
Why? Who's doing that?
Why? What is going on? Like, right? Like, this coin's dead, basically.
Yeah. I had another one where it was like, I'm just looking and like, I kind of agree with you where it's like, I'm not buying anything right now in the short term, I don't think. But I'd given like the AVAX and Mooncats, but there's another one that I found that's actually just a useful tool if you want to get into it. It's Phantom, like FTM, which, by the way, if you Google it, you will get female to male transgender as your search results, by the way. But the URL is ftm.farmscan.io, and it tracks all of the different farms. And like, I mean, if you really want to be a degen and like just start yield farming like random pools, I mean, you can do that. You can bet on all the different ETH solutions or ETH killers, or you can bet on Bitcoin ETH.
He has
whoever a risk says they know score. What's going to happen is a lot.
Yeah, there's a risk score, so they categorize it. But obviously, you know, take their wording with a grain of salt or some hesitancy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no clue where things are going. I saw another meme coin though recently while I was scrolling, looking for just random shills. Like, kind of want to give a basket of them. There's an OKLG coin. That's
okay. Let's
GM.
Go. GM. I think good GM movie. Was genius. Like, why didn't anyone do that sooner?
I'm really surprised as well.
Like, yeah. That one should blow up. I want to see what the. GM, we are going to make it coin.
Yeah.
It's like 0.003045734 market cap. It's down today, but.
I think we've given some good options. It's kind of like there's a broad array of investors, and do what you like. I mean,
we can't get in everything. There's
no, and the people who buy a Mooncat are not the same deep diving Phantom farms.
Yeah, and you know, this market's trending. Like right now, Ohm forks are pretty popular right now. And meme coins right now are pumping, but
I think that this is the part of the rotation, you know. But I think people are holding their breath to see if Bitcoin is going to pump again.
Yeah, let's see what this. We didn't talk about this, but this Taproot upgrade is supposedly a big deal.
That's what I was saying as well, and I was going to mention being like, "Yeah, Taproot's live. Do you care? I don't care."
Yeah,
but it's supposed to be for like helping them to do smart contracts or decrease the transaction costs.
I only root for Bitcoin because that means it's going to trickle down.
Yeah.
Right, the trickle down effect.
But we're all going to make it. It'll work. Yeah. Just patient.
I'm watching, and I don't think we're at the end of the cycle. I don't think we're at the end of the cycle yet.
The Zoop cycle. Yeah.
I'm still red. Hope not. But yeah, so. You know, we're just watching the market. Hopefully it goes up or it bounces back, but I don't think we're done yet.
Yeah, bounces back to what? Over 60K? Who's complaining? But it doesn't feel like a fun time. It's not that.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
it's kind of weird where it's like people are like zoom out, right? Like we're watching it every day and it feels like it's going nowhere, but if you like zoom out.
At least
out,
there's the entertainment of Vincent Van Gogh shitting on furries to keep yourself entertained.
Yeah.
And
in
listening
tungsten
to
cubes.
Looking at Fu the Panda talk about building a bamboo harem.
And e-girls.
At least that's the entertaining part, you know. Instead of having a boring job and looking at stocks, you can, you know, see Elon Musk saying that Bernie Sanders is dead or something.
Yeah, I didn't realize you're still alive.
Right? Oh, and him
sick
just like
burn.
He's holding his finger over the nuke Tesla price button.
Well, yeah, because he has to sell for the taxes.
Yeah, he had some options that he exercised or something.
Or like, yeah,
he had already planned to sell them before he did the Twitter.
Yeah,
poll.
So it's so like manipulative.
Biggest troll ever.
He just that's the one thing I hate about Elon, where it's just like he just manipulates for fun. He says shit for fun, like he's, which is like open for misinformation. Like, and he has that reputation that he's so smart because of Tesla, even though he can purposely spread misinformation and people just eat it up.
No, and his brother sold like a week before he did the Twitter poll.
Yes.
But it's like, oh, come on, guys. Like, I'm the richest guy in the world. Like, I can buy your life. Like, we're really going to
name my
about
kid after a fighter jet. Yeah, fuck you.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just basically like two middle fingers up to to the system. He's got fuck you money, basically. So
the memes will rule the world, like, soon. Yeah. The meme lords will be the overlords.
For sure. So on that note, I think we'll end it, right? It's been a
for
good
sure.
one. Slow week, but hopefully it'll pick up next week. But until then, you know, internet connection was a little shoddy on this one, so the quality might have been in and out, but apologies on that. But after all, I mean, other than that, it's been a great episode.
I'll do it at a good place.
Yep. November 4th.
Good episode, though.
Yep, 2021. Peace.
Shut up. Peace.